The mayor is here.
Yes, he is. The mayor of Hartford, Luke Braun, on our Touch Points Rehab interview chair. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. Dan, how you guys doing?
Good.
He looks pretty good for all he's been through, huh?
Well, let's start with what is going on now that we find out about the Standard & Poor's rating of junk bond status. Give us some reaction.
Look, first of all, that shouldn't be a surprise to many people. You know, Moody's downgraded us similarly a couple of months ago. The reality is they're looking at the same numbers that we've been talking about. You know, the numbers are what they are. The crisis is real. And I think what this downgrade action yesterday should do is reinforce the message that I've been given for the last year, which is that as a state, we have to address the structural problems in a structural way. We cannot address this by just kicking the can and buying some time. This is going to require the involvement of all stakeholders. That means the state of Connecticut. It also means our unions, and it also means our bondholders. You know, we've talked about the fact that the root of this problem is that you got a capital city with half of its property non-taxable, and it's got less taxable property than West Hartford and barely more than Farmington and Glastonbury. But on top of that, you got a city that has too much debt. It was restructured in ways that are creating huge spikes in payments. So our bondholders are going to have to be part of that solution. We're going to be engaging with them to resolve that.
Now, you hired this firm, which has expertise in, among other things, bankruptcy, but also restructuring municipal finances. So can they restructure the finances in such a way so that the city doesn't have to file for bankruptcy?
Well, at the end of the day, the answer to that question is going to depend to a large extent on whether we get a state budget at all, first of all, whether we get a state budget, period, and whether that state budget begins to address the structural problem of having a capital city that has too little taxable property. You know, debt restructuring alone cannot solve this problem. If we didn't have a single dollar of debt, we would still have a deficit next year. If we didn't owe a single dollar into our pension fund, we'd still have a deficit next year. Because again, the root of this problem is that you got a state where municipalities are supposed to run on local property tax, but you've got a city that's too small to begin with, where half the property is non-taxable, and you can't run a city effectively on the tax base of a suburb. That's been a problem for a long time, and the way that was dealt with in the past was jacking up taxes again and again and again to the point that they are far too high to promote the growth that we need. And then doing things like selling off assets and one-time fixes. So this problem's been around there for a long time. Debt restructuring has to be a part of the solution, but the state also has to be a part of the solution in a serious way.
You know, Mayor Braun, and I know you have been out, you've gone to the cities, you've gone to the towns. Here on the radio, one morning I really got into this, you know, all the towns, the 169 towns. They're all individual. They all have fire engines. They all have this. And why we couldn't do anything like regionalization in some of the areas. And wow, they almost cut my head off talking about regionalization. So it's just a tough sell here.
You should have come with me on some of the town halls. Look, first of all, let's start by acknowledging regionalism doesn't solve the fiscal crisis that we're talking about right now, not on its own. But it is true that it makes no sense to have a state of 3.5 million people that's carved up into 169 towns where every service is duplicated in every one of those towns. It doesn't make sense. That's why nobody else does it that way. But at the same time, I think one of the big things that we've missed in Connecticut, and Aetna's decision drove this home, is that cities play a really important role in economic development in America today. And if you don't have strong cities, you're not going to be a state that's growing. Everybody that's beating us in the competition for jobs is seeing that growth come from strong cities. And we have the ability to do that here. So the reason I'm saying that is it's not just about, you know, sharing services. It's also about our mindset. It's about recognizing that we really are all tied together. That when, you know, a company like Aetna makes a decision to move, most of those jobs are coming from the suburbs, not from the city. If they take 250 jobs, I bet you no more than a handful, maybe five of those jobs are actually coming from folks who live in the city of Hartford. We are tied together. And if we don't change our mindset and recognize that if you don't have a strong heart, the whole region as a whole isn't going to be healthy, then we're not going to solve this problem.
Mayor, how do you, because, and you're right to say the city doesn't have all of this taxable property, how do you reconcile that with people who say the taxpayers in Connecticut already give Hartford on an annual basis $250 million a year?
Well, first of all, one way you reconcile is by saying that the city of Hartford has state government buildings which pay no taxes, has hospitals which pay no taxes, has universities, colleges which pay no taxes, has the sewage treatment plant which pays no taxes, has the trash-burning energy power plant which serves 70 towns
but
around the state and pay no taxes.
But their argument is in return for that, so, they're getting $250 million a year.
Right. But the point is, that's not, that shouldn't be thought of as a gift. That should be thought of as a reasonable thing to do to make sure that you can have a capital city that actually works. But what we should be focused on is not just doing what we do today if we know that what we're doing today isn't working. You know, here are the options. Like, you got a city that's got too little taxable property. What are the traditional options if you're asking the city to solve its problem on its own? One is to raise taxes, and the other is to make cuts. The city of Hartford's taxes are two or three times most surrounding towns. They're seven times what some of the towns in Fairfield County are when you look at the property tax rate. You can't keep raising taxes on a city without killing it. So that option's just not a smart one. We've, on this other side, when you talk about cuts, we've made very deep cuts. You know, our non-uniform city personnel is down by about 25% over the last few years. At a certain point, you reach a level where you can't manage effectively and you can't govern responsibly if you cut too deeply. Now, I do believe that we can and should get more savings out of our labor negotiations, but even the most aggressive asks in those labor negotiations is not going to come close to closing this gap that we have. Because the gap, again, is rooted in the fact that you got a city with billions of dollars less taxable property than West Hartford next door, when West Hartford has half of the population and far less need. So that's the fundamental challenge. And while I certainly understand everybody who says the state already spends money on Hartford, the question is, have we built a system that works? And the answer to that is,
can
clearly
we do
no.
that?
Absolutely we can do that.
We can do
I don't think we have no choice but to do that if we want to actually grow. You know, we need to be thinking of this in the same way that we think about other economic development deals. You know, I'll give you an example. UTC or Sikorsky, right? The state entered into deals with those companies that gave them tax breaks or tax credits in return for job commitments. That's, you know, there are some people who thought that was a bad idea, but my personal view is the risk of losing those types of advanced manufacturing firms that are employing thousands of people, and if you look at the whole supply chain, probably hundreds of thousands of people, is far too great to put that at risk. So that's a smart economic development investment. But we need to think of our cities in the same way, because cities really are the drivers of economic growth around the country today. We cannot afford to let our cities be hollowed out. We cannot afford to let our cities have to raise taxes so high that they can't grow. And we can't afford to cut services so deep that they become, you know, service insolvent, where you're just not delivering the basic services that, you know, residents deserve, businesses deserve, and that everyone in the state of Connecticut should expect of its capital city or its other major metro center.
Our special guest live here in the studio this morning, Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin. Mr. Mayor, how long would it take us if we did something dramatic to get ourselves back where we were years and years ago? This is what the concern is. It just seems the whole system that we have today is not working, and we've got to get something that works.
Brad, it's a great question. You know, I think that if we weren't facing this fiscal crisis in the city of Hartford and the state of Connecticut, the story about Hartford right now is that we are finally seeing the start of that revitalization that we've been looking for so long. You know, you've got the Goodwin Hotel just reopened. You're a month and a half away from UConn's downtown campus opening, bringing thousands of students in. You've got the Yard Goats selling out every weekend. You've got private investors coming in and putting money into buildings that have been vacant for 30 years, like those two buildings right in the heart of downtown in the corner of Pearl and Trumbull. You've got train service starting next year that's going to connect us to New Haven and to Springfield. You've got an energy that you can feel in the city of Hartford that's different than it's been for a long time.
Young people are moving downtown.
There's young people, there's empty nesters, there's a lot of people who are looking to move downtown. You have thousands of units that have already gone quicker than anyone expected. And you can feel that difference. You got coffee shops that are open where there weren't any. You got you don't have a full-fledged grocery store, but you got the Greenway Market, which actually, can give you most of what you need. And you've got Barnes & Noble opening up across from the UConn campus. You've got Front Street, which has turned into a very strong restaurant and entertainment center. All of those things are the kinds of things that create real revitalization. And if you look at any place where it's happened, that stuff gathers speed faster than anyone expects. Once you start to get some momentum there, you gather speed. And that's why I believe the biggest risk to us would be to deal with this current fiscal crisis in a way that just delays it. So we're right back in the same mess a year down the road or 2 years down the road, because that's how you kill momentum. If we take this crisis right now and we face it and we fix it and we make some tough decisions across the board, then I believe we can see that revitalization pick up speed and then move much more quickly than anyone expects. But we've got to deal with this, because the biggest enemy of momentum and of progress is uncertainty. You know, nobody wants to invest into uncertainty. Nobody wants to open a business where they think the taxes may have to go up, 20% the next year. So you've got to deal with it, get the problem behind you. And then I think the answer is we're already seeing what's possible. We're seeing the start of it already, and that's why I feel such a huge sense of urgency to deal with this fiscal crisis now.
Mayor, how long can the city of Hartford go without the state reaching a budget?
Well, we came into this fiscal year with a $50 million gap. Without a state budget right now, the governor's operating under a spending plan that actually cuts $50 million. So that means we've got a gap right now of $100 million in this fiscal year. That creates the city of Hartford.
Right.
The state obviously has a gap of $2.3 billion. But the city's problem is magnified by the fact that there's no state budget, and by the fact that in the meantime, the spending plan that they're having to use to just keep government running in the absence of a state budget takes away all of the pilot money. That's the payment in lieu of taxes to reimburse for non-taxable property, the Pequot funds, which cities around the state, municipalities around the state get. Those things all disappear under this current spending plan. And so that creates challenges that, they're not a year away. They're months away. Again, that's why we are right now taking the steps that are necessary. We brought in expert and experienced legal counsel that has a lot of experience in dealing with municipal restructurings and engaging bondholders. But again, that can be a piece of a solution. But at the end of the day, the state has to play a role. And I think that role has to be adopting a state budget that helps put our cities, not just Hartford, but all of our cities, in a position to actually be competitive.
So the longer the state goes without a budget, how does that affect the pledge of money from Aetna, Hartford, the Hartford and the Travelers to the city? Is the city going to get that money anyway, or is it contingent on some kind of a state solution?
No, those companies have been very clear from the start that commitment is conditional. It's contingent on being part of a sustainable, comprehensive solution.
So you haven't gotten the money yet from them for this year?
No, and I don't blame them. They've made clear from the very start that it has to be part of a comprehensive solution, and I think they understand very well that there is no comprehensive solution that doesn't involve the state making some fundamental changes in the way that it treats the capital city. Because they, again, look at the same numbers that we look at. They see the tax base. They know what we can achieve through the tools that we have. And they see what is obvious, which is that you got a structure that's not built to work. You got a city that's sitting on too small a property tax foundation to work. So, yeah, they want to see the same things that I want to see, which are all of our stakeholders being part of that solution. That means our labor unions. That means the state of Connecticut. And in the meantime, we're going to be working to see what we can get with our bondholders, because they have to be part of the solution, too.
Now, how about the you reached a deal with the firefighters union. Do you have any negotiations planned with the other unions?
We are in regular negotiations on an ongoing basis with all of those unions.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's one of the big problems. And I, you know, the thing that I think bothers me the most, and I've said it, and I know sometimes I feel like I'm alone on this, is this something that we might have to do, file bankruptcy. I just think that it'll be all across the country. It's gonna hurt us for a couple of years till we get back on our feet. Just the word bankruptcy, because people still look at Connecticut.
Well, is that the worst thing, Mayor? Would that allow you to renegotiate the contracts with the unions if the city filed for bankruptcy?
Let me just talk about union contracts. This is really important. If we got every dollar that we are seeking from our unions, that doesn't come close to solving this problem. That's a part of the issue. But nobody should be under the impression that we have this problem because of our current union contracts. Now, yeah, we have a lot of pension obligations to folks who have already retired. But in terms of our current union contracts, there are more savings that we can get, and I'm fighting hard to get those. And one of the reasons we don't have deals done is that I'm asking for things that are uncomfortable, right? I'm asking for tough concessions. It's easier to get deals done if you're just trying to do a deal that doesn't do a whole lot. The reason we don't have deals signed right now is because I'm asking for a lot. But even if we get everything that the city is seeking, that doesn't come close to addressing the problem. The other elements of this are pension, debt, and again, that basic fundamental problem that you've got a city that has the property tax base of a suburb. Right? All of those things have to be addressed. So I just wanted to pause on that, because I think it's important that we talk both about the fact that I think we need much bigger concessions from our labor unions, working hard to get them, and I'm not willing to give a whole lot on the back end, which means it's hard to get these deals.
But if the city filed for bankruptcy...
Let me just finish. But that alone cannot solve the issue.
But if the city filed for bankruptcy, how are the contracts with the unions affected? Are they?
That depends. You know, they can be in agreement in Chapter 9. My hope would be that we get contracts done that are responsible, that do a lot, and we can move forward with contracts in place. But look, what do I think is the worst thing for the city of Hartford and the worst thing for the state of Connecticut? I think the worst thing would be to put ourselves in a position where we're right back in this same mess.
Absolutely.
2 years down the road. That, I think, is the worst.
I agree 100%.
And there are two other things that I think would be bad. One is raising taxes so high that you kill the city, and I don't think we can go much higher than they are right now. And the other is cutting so deeply that you've got a city that nobody wants to move to or stay in. Those things are also worse.
We have about 30 seconds left. The legislature is negotiating this budget. Have you heard any conversation about Hartford? Is there any sense that Hartford is part of this conversation?
Yeah, I think we are actually finally winning the argument. And I think legislators around the state finally are starting to recognize that Connecticut as a whole needs a strong capital city, especially since our capital city isn't just the state capital, it's the center of the economic growth in our city, in our state. But at the end of the day, they've got a problem that's very large, and I don't think they've yet figured out how to fix it.
Mr. Mayor,
thanks, Mayor.
Thank you so much
for
coming in. Every month.
Good to see you.
Every month. We'll see you next month.